James Duffy coming up here in a moment. We're tracking the end of round two at the Masters. A lot of the big names are out. Koepka's out. DJ's out. McIlroy's out. And that doesn't mean there's not going to be big names going into the weekend. There will be. Thomas is up there. Finau is up there. Spieth is up there. But there's also a couple of guys like Will Zalatoris, Justin Rose, Leishman, you know, guys of that ilk. Cameron Champ's having a pretty good round two. It looks like he could be in contention. Siwoo Kim, who's putting with a three-wood as we currently speak, is potentially in contention. So there's still going to be some big names, but a lot of the rock stars, it looks like they're either not going to make the weekend or they're just going to fade away. So it could be a little bit of a different weekend than maybe some were expecting.
Is that going to mess with both of your pools head-to-head?
No. Well, it doesn't really matter. As long as I got Spieth, Justin Thomas kind of in the mix, that Justin Rose I even will cheer for and hope that good things happen. But that's a leaderboard. I'm on the couch anyway watching
it.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who's on the leaderboard.
You want some juice, though, Hayes. Like, it puts your ass on the couch a little quicker and says, let's go.
Yes. Ideally, what it is it's Thomas, Spieth, you know, Reed, and then a couple of random guys. You know, Finau chasing it. Like, that's a compelling storyline for sure. And the Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. And James Duffy would generally be down there. He was down there in November, but it's a big day here at TSN on Monday, and I assume that's why JD is still up here. He's been manning the desk, doing his thing in the studio, doing a great job day in, day out the last couple of days. And here he is from TSN, golf guy James Duffy. What's up, JD?
How you doing, boys?
Doing very well. Good. Very well. What's it like to call Augusta National in the Masters from Studio 6 here in Toronto?
Well, it's not quite as glorious.
How sour are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Because we were talking about it. O brought it up. Like, how sour are you on a scale of 1 to 10 that you are not at the Masters? And I believe, like, Puffy and the whole crew are right down there.
17.
Yeah.
Look, I knew as soon as the NHL sched was announced it was going to be an issue. And we sort of, you know, we tried. There are ways I could have gotten back probably, but... You know, two things, a Monday playoff or any sort of rain delay or darkness delay in a playoff that led to Monday golf would kill me. And secondly, I think, you know, realistically in these times, even though, you know, the crew down there is sort of in their own bubble and they're getting tested daily and such, it's not the best look, I don't think, COVID protocol-wise to be in Georgia one day and be in a set with others on Monday. So I get it. It's not nearly as fun as being there. I actually get to watch more golf, though, because as I've told you guys before, when you're down at the Masters, I like to get out on the golf course to watch the golf, because what's the point of being there if you're not going to do that? But you miss so much being on the golf course. And so parked in my little teeny dressing room here watching, I actually see way more golf than I see on a normal year, so which is basically admitting that I faked the post-game shows the other years.
Speaking of not the best look, do you think Siwoo Kim's caddy said, maybe don't break your putter when you're in the mix at the leaderboard? If you're 25 over, go ahead and smash it into 30 pieces. This guy's on the first page of the leaderboard and breaks his putter on 15, and now he's bringing it home with a 3-wood on the greens.
That's one of the that's one of the flabbergasting moments I've seen in Masters history. Like, how mad do you have to be? I mean, I guess, you know, the passion just took over for a second because he's got to be. He actually almost made a birdie putt on 16 with the 3-wood, but you're right. I could see Rory doing it now. No problem.
Oh, God, you know, James. What is his game
home.
At?
You're three shots off the lead. While we're with putting, just one other aside. Did you guys see Justin Rose on 4 today leave his putt in the fringe?
Yes.
Do you know how many times, I did those highlights 4 times today. Do you know how many times I had to stop myself from saying, just like O-Dog did in our match with Dubas? I wanted to say it, and then I couldn't say it because, you know, you had no way to retort because you're not on the broadcast, and truthfully is you made one bad shot, I made about 15. So I didn't say it, but I bit my lip 4 times wanting to say it.
Dude, you just mentioned Rory. We were texting earlier. Did you think it was possible for his game to be where it's at right now? I mean,
no.
You mentioned his shot on 10. He hit it into a spot that only one other human being has, and that human being is James Duffy.
That's right. So on 10, when I got to play Augusta 5 years ago, on 10 there is this giant bush to the right that I'd never seen on TV because no one is anywhere near there. And on my second on 10, I think I took a 3-wood and hit it into this bush. And my caddy said, yeah, you're not going to find that. And I said, I didn't even know that bush was there. I watched the Masters for 20 years. And then Rory hosled one a few minutes ago, and I'm like, that's my bush!
That should be renamed after you.
Yeah. That's my
line.
Bush.
That's my bush.
Yeah. Hashtag. Exactly. You need to own that one. Well, oh, yeah. You look at all the kind of old timers that are in this tournament. Larry Mize and Sandy Lyle. Freddie Couples is in that spot. Now VJ's in there. You just know these guys are going to be 14, 15, 17, 19 over. Sungjae Im is right in the middle of them. Sungjae Im blew an 80 today. He's 13 over. Sandy Lyles is 12 over for the tournament and in the clubhouse. Sandy
Dude,
Lyle
they come up with that every day. Yesterday, you know what it was? Bryson DeChambeau sat the same score as Ian Woosnam.
I love those stats, though. They're the best. The fact that Im lost to Sandy Lyle and Woosnam. Woosnam's in at 9 over.
Okay, so I'm in about 3 different Masters pools, but one of the producers of the show that we're doing comes to us and says, hey, we're going to do this little pool. I don't know. It's Golf Talk Canada, Zucchino or whatever. So it's like Bob Weeks, Zucchino, Lindsay Hamilton, who hosts the post show, and myself or whatever. Just this little 4-way pool. And they gave me like 4, you know, the old, you get 4 groups of players to choose from. You choose like a defending champion and, you know, an international and whatever and whatever. And somehow, here were my choices in this thing. My international ended up being Jason Day. Mm. Jason Day, by the way, 8 over through 15 today. Patrick Cantlay, I went for. Cantlay finishes 8 over out of the tournament. Somehow I got M 13 over. And DJ is my fourth guy. I am like a combined 42 over par in this little pool with 4 people. Like, I'm 74 strokes behind Lindsay Hamilton.
That might honestly be the worst team in the history of a
golf pools.
Yeah, the history of a golf pool.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah, that really is awful. And yeah. Jason Day and Im alone are plus 21.
Well, so I was looking at, it was a weird grouping. It's like, I didn't ignore, I know people would hear those picks and go, you know, you didn't pick Spieth, Thomas. I think I did it in about 2 seconds, but I love Cantlay going in. So, and then the other groups were weird. M was like, you know, top 5 in November, so it made sense in the group he was in. Mm-hmm. And Jason Day's been playing decent, so I thought, yeah, I'll grab Jason Day. And yeah. And DJ, you know, well, DJ's a decent choice. So, yeah, it's a complete and utter disaster.
Jimmy, Zucchino had a tweet where he was talking about everyone talking about bombers, and he mentioned the best ball strikers in the world, or 3 of them are in the top 10 or 12. Do you still think it's about, like he was like, iron players, it's still important, but is it still about the long ball? Whoever wins this tournament is a guy that's got to at least hit it 320?
Well, let's look at the board. And Zalatoris is one of those guys, even though I don't know, his tee shot on 18, he hit it about as far as I've ever seen anyone hit it. I think he had 134 coming in on 18.
Incredible.
Which is, that's ludicrous from where they hit it from back there. And he's skinny, weighs about 135 pounds. But Rose is, you know, Rose hits, I would probably say, average distance with the best players in the world right now. Harmon, yeah, who's tied at 6 under, not really. Leash hits it pretty good. Jordan's just average right now. So, you know, Finau's in it, but I would say no. Oh, I guess. I mean, I probably would have said yes if you asked me that at the beginning. But if you look at this board, it's not like that. And I think that's the great thing about Augusta. DeChambeau had a good round today, but I love it. I hate to say it, I don't wish bad on the guy, but I love it when he fails because of that. The fact that, like, I was thinking in November, which was sort of DeChambeau's first Masters in the new, big, beefed-up Bryson, right? And I thought, you know, this had the potential to be Tiger in 97, where he was putting it into stupid spaces, and he ends up shooting 2,300 and wins by 9. I thought that was a possibility. And then he goes and says it's a par 67, which was an idiotic thing to say, and it'll probably haunt him until he wins this tournament or contends. He was much better today, and he still might get in the hunt. But I love the fact that the ball strikers, that it's not playing that way right now. And so I would love the idea of somebody who doesn't hit it. Like Harman, nobody, you guys were talking about the leaderboard just before I came on, and nobody's going to be excited if Harman his wins on Sunday, but that guy hits it about 245, I think. So it would be pretty cool for golf for somebody like that to be in it.
James, getting to your Monday job, how busy do you think we all are going to be?
Oh, noodles. I should probably have a job from the company to sell this thing, but I don't think it will be. And, you know, we'll see what happens this weekend. I'm actually, they're still on Frank's list there. There's still a bunch of guys out there, which is a good thing. And if you can get to, even if you can get to Sunday, if a bunch of trades happen Sunday, at least we can all talk about them on Monday, right? So,
right.
But I don't have high hopes for this one. And I used to be, like, if it was 5 years ago, I'd probably be fretting that possibility. But I just sort of came to terms with a few years ago. This is my new attitude. It's like it's like if you go into the Masters with no expectations to win. Maybe Justin Rose, after his back injury, he went in with zero expectations, and now he's playing well. And so I go in with zero. I go in thinking there's not going to be a single trade, and then we're just going to have to fill 9 hours. And so every trade will feel like a bonus. And that's the only way I can handle trade deadline now.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the weekend plays out in terms of who else is available and how many surprises we're going to see. You know, a lot of it at this time of year, and we've been doing this for a long time, it's the usual suspects. You know who's on the board. You referenced Frank's trade bait board. And generally speaking, those are on the money, you know. But every once in a while, you catch someone that becomes available that you were a little bit surprised by.
And Coleman.
Blake Coleman being one of them. And a lot of times what you see is you hear about someone that almost got flipped, and then invariably the insiders say that'll be something to watch for in the summer.
Because come on.
But it always happens that way. Like, he almost got flipped. I was surprised. That tells us he's probably available in the summer. It's like we're already planting seeds for what's going to happen in July.
But then he never gets moved in the summer.
But
either.
He might not get moved in the summer either.
Right.
Right.
But
I don't know. Like I said, it's it is what it is. I really take it as you know, it's we don't have us all together like that very often, right? So if I could listen to you guys and have Ferraro around and Kevin Weeks is on the broadcast and Bobby Mack's back, it's still a pretty fun day to sit around and talk hockey. Can I ask you guys, I know I come to you guys for a lot of personal advice occasionally. Yes. I know you probably have to get out of here, but I need to ask you this question, okay? One of my three dogs has problems with her back legs.
Okay.
So my wife has gone out and bought a stroller and is now walking the dog in the neighborhood in a stroller.
It's ridiculous, man.
Do I have to move?
Says the guy who carries a cat in a knapsack.
In a harness. Yeah,
I just think people, it's too much to go for a walk with a stroller and your dog in it, man.
You can't walk a dog in a stroller. I can't.
No.
She can walk the dog in the stroller, but I cannot participate in that, can I?
I don't think
Well,
so.
How bad are the legs? Like are they, is it to a point where they...
It's a sad story. She's 8, 9 years old, and I think she's got some problems with her back, and she's losing control of her back legs. So I've been carrying her, basically. I let her walk for 30 yards, and then I put her up on my shoulder and carry her along.
Might be time to say goodbye, Jimmy.
I'm going to have to walk the other two dogs while she's strolling the dogs. So, I don't know. I just come to you guys for the thumbs up or thumbs down on whether I have to leave the neighborhood.
I'm the wrong person to ask because animals hate me, and I'm not the biggest fan of them. But I will say this. Get a red wagon. put the dog in the red wagon. That's more like the stroller seems like you're in Hollywood and you're Paris Hilton.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Manly, is the wagon more a more manly option?
I think the red wagon says like the dog's got something going on here, and we're trying to help it through the final years of its life. If you're putting it in a stroller, they're like, that's James Duthie. He's a prima donna from TSS. Yeah,
get a satchel for a mountain bike, and you go for a bike ride, and you shove the dog in the satchel.
Well, I was going to get a baby Bjorn. Just put that dog right in front like we used to hoist the kids around.
Yeah, that's not a bad play either. I think the dog would be fine with anything. If you're helping
the dog loves
out.
The stroller. That's the problem. She's all happy because the dog's happy as a cat.
Well,
no, what kind of stroller is it?
It's a baby stroller.
Yeah, like it's probably a $500 stroller. A Bugaboo $500 stroller. Probably has a sun, the sun visor, everything. It's probably, she probably spent $500 on that thing.
I know she got it at Yorkdale.
Oh, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, five-star across the board.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Home people.
You show me where the dog stroller section is at Holt.
Yeah, I like it. At least
go ahead, Hayes.
You'll have style. You'll have style if you do that. Well, if you do it, send us a pic or send us video if you're going to do it. I think that's the only way we can support it is that we'd have some good content. Or save it for Monday. That might be a quality. I think that'd be a good bit. Duthie walking around the studio with his dog and... Yeah, there's a lot of potential action there.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, have yourself a weekend, and we'll see you dancing on Monday. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, enjoy the Masters, boys.
There he is, James Duthie from TSN. Coverage of the Masters Thursday, Friday throughout the weekend. Trade Center again starting at 8 a.m. on Monday. 8 a.m. on Monday. Trade Center right here on TSN.